Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what happened to my music, but all sorts of things are happening in my city because we are on a thunderstorm watch. So this is Margaret Marshall, and I want to welcome you to the backyard. We didn't have the pleasure of Mr. Kevin McLeod this evening for some reason. He was supposed to carry us into our virtual trip to Jamaica. But I'd like to welcome the guests this evening. You're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We are here each week at 8 o'clock on a Thursday where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And as I do each week as you come by to visit with us in the backyard, I ask you to clear your mind of all the worries of the week, the challenges, whatever. Just get in a comfortable chair and pretend that you're on the island, some favorite place that you used to be when you were growing up or when you visited or the last time you visited. We know how relaxed it can be at this hour of the day with we're chilling and the trade winds are blowing gently across the island. So I hope that you will get in a nice relaxed mood because we're here this evening to celebrate, as we have been doing for a couple of weeks, the early educators of Jamaica, pioneers in the field of education. And as usual, I'm always so fascinated at the things I've been discovering of these men and women way back when learning was such a privilege because there were no books available. And, you know, I think we who grew up with so much around us, we don't realize that there was once a time all over the world, not just in Jamaica because of where we are or who we are, but people didn't even learn from books. So, you know, we're privileged. And last week we heard about one of our featured guests who only had two books that he could learn from. And his father taught him well, and he learned. So we must know how blessed we are to be living in the age of technology, where now the kids have so many different avenues to learn from, and that learning is much faster than it used to be before. So I am delighted to bring to life some new people who they might be new to me, they might not be new to you, but I did not know of them and their accomplishments. But because of the wonderful work of Dr. Joy Lumsden, who has dedicated her life to putting a halo around these wonderful people by bringing them to life. And I feel very confident that many of their descendants are perhaps all over the world, and perhaps a lot of them may still be in Jamaica. And I am hoping that somehow, some way, if they don't know all the good works that their relatives, their ancestors did, that somehow they will know through this show. Because all this material is online, but I call myself just giving it a voice because I know a lot of times people find it more convenient to listen than to read. So I'm going to be doing some reading tonight as usual, and also inviting the guests on the board or online. If you're online, the number is right there. You can call in if you want to join the Labrish. And for those of you who are online, remember, you hit 1 on your telephone, and that will tell me that you want to be a part of the story. So we're featuring three educators this evening, Last week we did all males. Today we are doing one male and two females. So I figure I need to mix it up a little. But that just brings me to the point that, you know, in the days way back when, women were not necessarily recognized as being able to work and being in certain positions. They were just considered housewives or working in the house and having babies. So these early women were really something, and we need to know about them and to celebrate them. So let me first start with Mr. Alfred Lawrence Walcott. And I'm trying to really say all the names that are in this documentation, because I think they're descendants out there. So as I go through my little, you know, speech, especially my sidebars, I want you to remind you that if you know someone with this name, you might ask them if they would like to check out some of these shows and find out perhaps some more that they might be related to some of these people. So Mr. Walcott, spelled W-A-L-C-O-T-T, was born in Manchester in October of 1859. His mother came from Trelawney and his father from St. James. He was educated at St. Andrew's Albertown in Trelawney. Apparently the name of the school is St. Andrew's. And by the Reverend C.C. Douce, D-O-U-C-E, who was one of the earliest black Anglican clergymen in Jamaica. His teacher recognized his ability, and he made rapid progress. Douce, D-O-U-C-E, encouraged him to prepare himself for the teaching profession. In January 1875, he entered the government training college at Stony Hill, which was moved to Spanishtown in the summer of 1876, where it was administered by Bishop C.F. Douet as superintendent. His ability and good conduct led him being chosen to take the place of the headmaster of the model school whenever he was absent or indisposed. Having successfully completed the course in Spanishtown, he spent a year as headmaster at Myers Field School, Westmoreland. In September of 1879, he returned to Spanishtown to take up the post of assistant master at the training college. W.H. Plant, later the headmaster of the Titchfield School, was one of the students at the college at the time, many of whom later had distinguished careers. In 1881, he was appointed to the mission station, St. James, Gibraltar, St. Anne. I don't really understand that. Apparently, there's a town in St. Anne called Gibraltar. Okay. There he acted as, he conducted the day school and gave occasional help at St. Thomas Church, Stewart Town. In August of 1882, Archbishop Nuttall appointed him to West Branch School in Kingston, where he spent the rest of his distinguished teaching career. Under the leadership of Teacher Walcott, West Branch School and the Anglican Church of All Saints on West Street, south of the public hospital, grew and flourished. The school became, if not the foremost, one of the foremost schools in the island. It provided an excellent start in life for pupils from all over the island and from Panama, many of them achieving distinction in their subsequent careers. Walcott was especially keen to provide a good education for girls. His work for Jamaica's youth at West Branch led to people describing him as the Booker T. Washington of Jamaica. He was often urged to train for the Anglican priesthood, but he preferred to continue as a teacher and to give his service to advance the development of All Saints Church. He was a founding member of the Jamaica Union of Teachers and its president in 1900. Governor Blake appointed him to the Board of Education, the first elementary school teacher to serve as a member on that board. Okay, now I am going to tell you a little bit. That is sort of a summary of what Dr. Lumsden wrote, you know, having collected all the material that she found in the various publications, because that's how she does her research. If she gets a article about someone and it intrigues her and she feels that they had a lot to contribute to the culture, then she starts her research and goes all over, I suppose, using the internet and whatever means to find articles relating to their life. So it says here, at his death in 1919, he was remembered as a modest man who had given his all to his beloved vocation, teaching. So in the Jamaican Times of 1909, on April 24th, and Dr. Lumsden usually gives the page, the date, everything, because all of her material is very authentic. Young Walcott, this is what the newspaper wrote, young Walcott, like many another Jamaican youth who has risen gloried in hard work from early in life, and very soon the spirit of enterprise and the desire to succeed manifested itself. It was not always his teachers that remembered his early training of such marked importance. Some of these men were, as a fact, poorly equipped educationally, but it was in the boy to rise, and he did so despite disadvantages. His progress was rapid, and he was soon at the top of his class and of his school. One of these teachers was Mr. Peter Allen of Whitby in Manchester, who Mr. Walcott says seems to have been one of the best of his day and of whom he cherished grateful memories. On the removal of this gentleman from the school, young Walcott's parents placed him under Mr. J. Schoolfield, S-C-H-O-L-E-F-I-E-L-D, an Englishman who then held the position of schoolmaster of the St. Andrew's Station, Alberttown, Trelawney. Mr. Schoolfield was succeeded by Mr. C.C. Dowse, now Anglican minister. He was actually a black priest ordained in March of 1881 at Highgate, who, recognizing his pupil's intelligence and aptitude for teaching, directed his energies towards preparing him for the teaching profession. In college, Mr. Walcott entered the Government Training College, then at Stonyhill, as a student in January of 1875. His college contemporaries were Hugh John McKay, G.A. Ashby, the late Wesleyan minister, Herbert F. Miller, George Swaby, Samuel Mathias Johnson, the Reverend Ed Pierce, who was superintendent, and Mr. M. Cox, who was the tutor. On the removal of the training college to Spanish Town in the summer of 1876, Mr. Walcott was brought under the influence of the late Bishop C.F. Duet, D-O-U-E-T, and he has a whole lot of initials behind his name, so apparently he was a well-learned man. Now, here also he gathered the favor of his teachers, confidence in his ability as a teacher, and in his general good conduct was shown in his frequent employment while still a student to fulfill the place of the headmaster of the model school wherever that office was. So early in his career, we can see that his teachers recognized that he had the ability and they used him wherever he was needed, I suppose. Now, here's another article about his early career that Dr. Lumsden found in the Jamaican Times of 1909. I don't think the Times exists anymore. I think it's just the Gleaner now. But we're really finding out all the different publications that was around in those days. So I think that all of this digging up of this material is really has many, many purposes, because I didn't even know we had so many. It seems like we had more publications then than they did in my time, because I remember my growing up, we had the Gleaner and the Star, and that was it. So here they had the Times, and I think I read about something else before. But okay, back to the papers. In the Field, Jamaican Times of 1909. His first appointment after a successful 3 years course was to the headmastership of Myersfield Trust School in Westmoreland under the management of C.P. Bovell, Esquire, attorney for Paradise Penn. This was in February of 1878. Here he had quite uphill work. The schoolhouse and teachers' residence were erected in a locality unfavorable to the maintenance of a good health, owing to the presence of lagoons and marshes. The school was but newly erected, and none but the children of the peasantry of the estate and those of East Indian immigrants could at this early stage attend. The highest standards was only the third book. Second standard was unrepresented. The remaining children are placed in junior or first standard. Still, in July in the same year, school made 30 points at the government inspection and 46 marks second class in April of the following year. The Reverend P. Williams of Betheltown was the examiner. The young teacher left to fill the post of assistant master government training college, Spanish Town, to Portland, W.H. Plant, Titchfield, R.A. DeCoster, Bermuda, A.I. Hopwood, late headmaster, Hope Industrial School. That's another school I'd never heard of. J.N. Swaby, rector of St. Andrews, Albertown. Archdeacon Swaby. Okay. In 1881, Mr. Walcott was appointed to the mission station in St. James, Gibraltar, St. Anne. In addition to his duties, he conducted the day school and gave occasional help at St. Thomas Church, Stewarttown. The mission that was dwindling received fresh vigor, and the school, a struggling third class of 30 marks, advanced to 52 marks in a single year. Everything gave promise of a successful future when Archbishop Nuttall directed that a change should be made to West Branch School in Kingston. Here he had been since August 1882. West Branch School. Now, here's another article in the Daily Gleaner. In 1909, Walcott, a character sketch. The following is an abstract from a sketch of the career of Mr. A.L. Walcott, twice president of the Jamaica Union of Teachers in October Journal of Education. Anyone passing down West Street 20 years ago would hardly notice the little mission school on his left and the ugly-looking square building which stood facing the gate some distance in the teacher's house. The clamor of quarreling men and women, the noise of rude urchins, the dirtiness of the street, a dead fowl here, a dead dog there, and the dinginess of the houses formed rather the object of a sober thought for your would-be moralist who little thought that the little school was destined to be the means of change the whole neighborhood would have. Were he to visit now the former scene of this musing, he would find a fine church consecrated to all the saints with a fine organ, a good congregation, and a regular officiating priest. In the place of one school, he would find three departments, each bigger than its present, and instead of one certified teacher, several who had their parchment. At first, his complaint might have been that there were too much room. Now it is that there is too little. The little insignificant West Branch School of 20 years ago has become, if not the foremost, one of the foremost schools in the island. After teaching at Myersfield in Westmoreland, and subsequently in St. Anne, he, Mr. Walcott, took charge of the West Branch School in Kingston in July of 1882, then a low third-class school with a very poor attendance, a school that one with less faith in his powers would have shrunk from. This school, within 2 years, gained first-class marks and has since gone up, 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 and now over 70 marks. It must be remembered that these marks are not mentioned as a measure of Mr. Walcott's work. To see that work, one must visit West Branch School for himself, must see hundreds of boys and girls busy at work, must observe the effect of the teaching on the children's conduct and character, and must follow them as they go forth to fight the battle of life. And that was from that writing. I'm telling you, I am so inspired, sidebar, when I read about how the writers described events and people of old times. And if you hear me scrabbling with the word sometimes, that's not how we possibly would write it now, but it's so profound once you get it. They're really speaking from the heart and using as many words as they possibly can to describe how they feel about individuals. So now we're going to read from the Times of 1909 again, the West Branch School. But West Branch of those days was a poor... Oh, I did that already. So let me go get back to my place. Whenever I go off on my sidebar, then I lose track. And believe me, folks, this stuff is not easy to read because the print is small, and Dr. Lumsden is copying and pasting the actual article from whatever publication it is, and she pasted it into her website. I, in turn, try to copy that so I can read it to you because I can't read it directly from the website with all sorts of things going on, you know, when you're actually on a website. So please bear with me. So let me see if I can get you another article about this wonderful Mr. Walcott, because he seems to be, you know, look how many, he went to this, call it the slums, as they described it there, you know, with people quarreling. It sounds like what we would call the slums, I suppose. And there, he didn't see that. He saw kids that needed to have some structure and needed to learn, and he took it on. I can, in those days now, like we're talking now, he said, bring it on, I'm ready. So let me see if I can get where I am now. Now, these men and women are ever loud in praises. Now, here, this article is talking about, this is after the man died, of course, is talking about him. And it says, and Dr. Lumsden sometimes just picks up part of the article as it relates to the person's life. And sometimes I'm sure that it's even difficult for her to copy the article to get it on our website. So it brings me to the point, sidebar, that, you know, we all need to be making our own life stories for our descendants to learn about how it was in our day. And I'm sure that each one of us, even though we don't think we have contributed something to our descendants, even without knowing it. So let me go back here. The number of those trained at West Branch go up into the thousands, including pupils from Panama, Port Limon, Limon, Central America. Even now, many of the pupils in school come from outside the city of Kingston. Remember, this was being written in 1919. His old pupils have given recruits to nearly every profession. These men and women are even loud in the praises of their old teacher. Among teachers trained by Mr. Walcott was Mr. S. M. Gordon of Mandeville, Mr. G. L. Harry, P. Monroe, and T. Monroe, General Secretary of the JUT. Mr. Walcott believes in the education of our girls, as he is anything but oblivious to the uplifting influences of womanhood. Among the most successful trained by him may be noted Miss L.E. Black, now Mrs. Walcott. Apparently he married her. Miss L.M. Ludford, L-U-D-F-O-R-D, who's a nurse. Miss L. Payne in Port Antonio. The late Miss Tucker. Miss A. C-H-A-V-E-S, Chavez, now Mrs. B. Lumsden. Huh, interesting. Miss E. Delgado, now Mrs. W. Lumsden. Miss M. Green, now Mrs. J. S. Linton. And the three last have married ministers of the gospel. To our island civil service, he has given Messrs. M. Aaron, the court's officers in Kingston, E. Wilson, Surveyor General's office, J. A. Lawrence, the court's office in Port Maria, G. A. Smith, late of the Register's General's office in Spanish Town, H. A. Morley, who is a deacon. Other pupils have been successful, not only in winning scholarships for secondary schools, but in passing the Cambridge local examination. A late winner of the Jamaica scholarship was Master Valentine, now residing in Edinburgh, who won a scholarship at Woolmer's from West Branch School. Now, sidebar again. Now, I'm sure they're mentioning all these people who went on under because of his tutelage to do great things, not only in Jamaica, but some of them even traveled abroad. This is really inspiring. So here's another article she got from the Gleaner of 1916, page 14. It is unnecessary and impossible in a brief sketch to name the different positions held by him at home and abroad. It is sufficient to say that the record of that of the school has not been approached by any other elementary institution in the lifetime of Mr. Walcott, qualifying as he did numerous pupils to pass the classical examination from an elementary institution. So I think what they're saying here is that at the elementary level, this man prepared students to take the Cambridge exam. I mean, that is amazing. I wish some of the teachers and students of the of our present-day system would really, really do some research on some of their, you know, predecessors, because these people were so inspired and passionate about education and the importance of educating the nation. So I am hoping that people will spread the word and let them, they can research the article or listen to the show. Let's hope that it will really, really inspire them. So now here's another article saying Mr. Walcott has been identified with the Jamaica Union of Teachers from its inception. One of the founders of the of that successful organization, his brethren Mark, the recognition of his ability and wisdom by returning him on the union's executive on the union's executive year after year. He has also served the union as president, while Mr. Henry Blake, as governor of this colony, showed the appreciation for his worth by approaching him, appointing him on the Board of Education, the first elementary school teacher to serve as a member on the board. And the Daily Gleaner of 1816 in May said he has been one of the founders and first president of the Jamaican Union of Teachers, the largest and best organized body of educated colored men in the world at that time. You know, it's amazing to know how many times Jamaica has been first. There are a lot of islands that had colored men, but Jamaica is usually the first or has the most. So I just love to celebrate that because, remember, folks, we're here, at least Backyard Labrish's goal is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So I'm always excited when there's something to celebrate and preserve. So because these shows are archived and forever in the clouds, they'll be here long after I've made my exit for people to find out about this wonderful man, Mr. Walcott. So I just wanted to read a couple more articles to you about him, and then I'm going to go on to the ladies because, you know, during that period, women becoming professionals at anything were sort of unheard of. So these women were real pioneers. And when I'm finished with Mr. Walcott, I'll invite any listeners on the board that may want to weigh in with their thoughts on these pioneers that I don't know about the rest of the people on the board and online, but I never heard of before. I know I've heard of some of these names, of course, but not of the special accomplishments of these various people that we have been featuring, thanks to Dr. Lumsden. Okay, so let me tell you now, at the Church of England, the Times of 1909 in April said, he has read very widely for the work of the Christian ministry, but although he has passed credible examination, he has not so far yielded to the express desire of his parents and friends to submit himself for ordination. Now, I like how they put words, you know, that he would be submitting himself, not presenting himself. It's really something else. Rather, he has preferred to remain in the schoolroom and among the youthful minds, believing that this work offers just as wide a scope of usefulness as that of the ministry. He has worked hard and well. The prosperity of the West Branch Mission Station is largely due to his efforts. For a small mission station, All Saints has grown. And this is the outcome of the efforts of a man who contents himself in doing quietly that which his friends find to do. Due to his recognized competence, he has been exempt by his grace from the annual examination of catechist. That must be something in the church, over which he has had the honor of presiding several times. He has been the founder of All Saints Church, which together with his school of over 700 children in daily attendance, from the bulwark, B-U-L-W-R-K, of spiritual and educational work in Western Kingston. So that's what the London Times wrote about him. Now, here's something on his character and reputation. Mr. A.L. Walcott, the genial and able headmaster of West Branch School in Kingston, has long been regarded as one of the island's foremost elementary school teachers. Just as West Branch under him has been one of our foremost schools, Mr. Walcott possesses very agreeable manners. He has a smile for all, and his politeness is most marked. He loves his country, and he loves the profession in which he has succeeded so well. It is remarkable to note how fresh his ideas are. He keeps abreast of the times and moves forward with the changing march of our educational requirements. But his most endearing feature is his modesty. He does not crave the applaud of men. Ah, wow. And the Daily Gleaner wrote, this is a Panama newspaper, gives brief sketch. And here, I think they're referring to a sketch as of a talk or a paragraph. It's a gives brief sketch of educator's career in the Star and Herald. And this was a Panamanian paper of the 22nd of 1916. A.L. Walcott, who has often been called the Booker T. Washington of Jamaica, will speak at the schoolroom of the Baptist Mission at the guest of the Reverend H.L. Turnberry this evening, beginning at 6 p.m. sharp. He will be glad to meet all his former scholars, members of All Saints Church, and various other persons interested in educational subjects. And another newspaper writing about him, he was a born teacher. It can with truth be said that Mr. Walker was one of the ablest teachers which the College for the Training of Elementary School Teachers in Jamaica has ever turned out. He received his training at the Old Government Training College in Spanish Town, an institution over which the late Bishop Duett presided when he was an archdeacon. Mr. Walcott acted as one of the masters of the college. Indeed, Mr. Walcott was born a teacher, a man who was never so happy as when engaged in the work of instructing a pupil who shows signs of being the possessor of an active intellect. Then Mr. Walcott would spare no pains in guiding such a pupil along the path of knowledge, and would scorn delights, S-C-O-R-N, delights, and live laborious days in carrying out his unselfish task. I mean, these people wrote with such flourish and depth, and the writing is so small. Okay, money would be no object in his tuition. He taught because he found pleasure in teaching, and his style was natural and devoid of the traits which are commonly associated with the pedagogue, P-E-D-E-G-O-R-I-E. Mr. Walcott had, if Mr. Walcott had a fault, it was that so earnest was he in bringing forth the mental qualities of his pupils that he was inclined to forget the cultivation of their bodily powers. And he commonly taught the pupils far beyond the time set down on his schedule for the closing of the school. In other words, while he was teaching them, he didn't remember that they had to eat. Wow, that is a dedicated teacher. When Mr. Walker took charge of the West Branch School, it was a third-class school of 28 marks. He raised its standard until he placed it in the front rank of the elementary schools of Jamaica and made it so popular that it now has on its books more pupils than any other school in the island. He made the name West Branch a household word. And today, men and women are to be found in all parts of the world and in every profession who has been taught by him. He had to do with the education of winners of the Jamaican scholarship, of doctors, lawyers, clergymen, journalists, and men and women in all varied walks of life. And his work was appreciated by our foremost educationalist. Time and again, men like the late Bishop Nuttall, the late Reverend Gillis, and Colonel Crunchy, C-R-U-C-H-Y, Crouchy, Archbishop Sims, S-I-M-M-S, Mr. Thomas Caper, the late Mr. J.R. Williams, the late Director of Education, and the present acting director have given public testimony of the manful service rendered to the cause of the progress of education in this island by Mr. Walcott. And now he rests from his labors, and his good works follow him. In 1920, this article said, and this article is written by W.F. Bailey, who was the retiring president of the Conference of the Jamaican Union of Teachers. And this is what he wrote. What feelings, what recollections does the name of Lawrence, of Alfred Lawrence Walcott, not recall? One of those who gave counsel when the first proposal for the Union of the Jamaican Union of Teachers in January of 1920. What feelings, what recollections? One of the, I read that already. Let me just get my bearings here. He retained his connection with the Union from the first to the last, and not only fulfilled the highest post of honor, which teachers have to give, the presidential chair of the Union, but shared the confidence of the members to his death. His service to this island, how could they ever be estimated? What he has been to Jamaica, who would venture to put in words? Let the lives of the thousands who touched his life and the many who had the opportunity of getting the inspiration which came from contact with him, let them speak. And listen to this, listeners. I think this is so powerful a statement. And this is the man's statement, Mr. Bailey. His monument has been erected. No, let me start again. His monument has long been erected and may be found everywhere. And that closes the story on Mr. Walcott. I am sure that there are descendants of some of these people that he has touched that perhaps are truly his monuments, because how we become immortal is leaving something of value in the next generation. And that's what I got from reading that article, especially that last sentence. And I must apologize. Sometimes I get very emotional, because for the fans who might come by later and don't know, I'm an old lady. I'm a senior. I am just passionate about leaving a legacy, and not necessarily mine, but of all these wonderful people that have made our great country and great the island of Jamaica, that have produced people that have touched other people and have done so much all over the world. I mean, just all over the world. They did then, and they continue to do so now. And it really, really makes me proud to know that it goes so far back. So I'm going to take a break now and invite any of the callers on the board that may want to weigh in on this marvelous Mr. Walcott. The two ladies don't have as much information about them, of course, because they were not written about by all these different publications. And I'm sure that perhaps these women had husbands and children and all of that. Most of the men are doing in those days were just doing their career. And not like the fathers now who are running to the ball games and the children are multitasking. And they were mostly doing what they do so well in the old days, and the women were multitasking. So whereas Dr. Lums then put these things together by all of the various articles I read to you were from different publications, which means that whoever is doing the research, you know, have to find these things and then copy them and put them together to find out what this man's life was like and really how much he contributed to thousands. He went to the school that was in the slums, was not performing, and you see how they wrote about the points in those days. We're talking 18-something, folks. You know, the grading system was different. One of the articles even mentions the name of the examiner who went to the school and graded them. Yet, out of those humble circumstances that he had to work, because of his passion and dedication and drive. He was able to produce students, as they say. He worked with them individually till the sun was setting. Didn't remember the kids had to eat, but they were eager to learn. And even though they never went to high school, they were taking Cambridge examination. And foreigners might not know what that is about, but I'm sure Jamaicans that grew up, especially in my period of time, will know what that is about. And I'm sure that they didn't change the standards for those children because they were taking the exam from Jamaica, because they never did it during my day. Your papers went to England to be graded just like the English kids. So you either passed or you failed. So with that said, I'm going to be reading about two women who were instrumental in starting, you know, women in teaching as teachers in the early days. So if there's anyone on the board that want to join the Labrish, just hit 1 on your telephone, and it will be like raising your hands in school. Teacher, call on me. So I'd like to call on you. So if you'd like to say something, raise your hands. If not, I'm going to, I see a hand raised, and that's always so nice. Good evening. Welcome to the backyard. I'm in my easy chair. I got my rum and coconut water, and I'm really chilly.
Good evening, Margaret.
Who do I have?
This is Janine from Long Island.
Oh, welcome, Long Island, and Miss Janine. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. I hope you are willing to share that rum and coconut water.
Oh, well, if you take a virtual shot, you know, they're doing things virtually now. Everything is virtual.
Yes.
So if you can take it, I'm pouring you a glass.
Oh, man.
Okay, you hear the ice?
I was just about to say that. I hear
but
it.
But today
it's the ice.
Lemon, not water. Is that
good for your daughter?
And of course, you know, I'm just kidding because
yes.
I'm on all of this medication. I'm not supposed to drink. I don't drink.
Yes.
But I'm having a virtual drink. You know,
yes,
when you're virtual, you just pretend.
It's good to remember.
Yes, yes, yes. But did you ever hear about Mr. Walcott?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
And you see all these reports in the Gleaner then?
Yes.
They're saying that that man will always be remembered.
Isn't that something?
That's what they thought.
Yes.
But I know I never heard of him.
No.
And
he did so many good things, you know.
Right, right. And we were right there on the island, not during his time.
No.
You know, in reasonable time that we should.
Yes.
So, but it's always interesting to discover, you know, and I'm really grateful to the historians who are piecing the lives of these people together. And Dr. Lobson is always grateful if there's anyone who wants to add, if there are descendants who know some things about these people, you know, you can go to Joyous Jam is her website, or just Google Dr. Joy Lobson and you get to her many websites. So, Ms. Janine, I'm going to read you about a name that I was not very familiar with that was very popular in Jamaica, or common, as we would call it in those days. This lady's name was Adele, A-D-E-L-L-E.
Adele?
Leona Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E, was her last name. I don't remember running into a lot of people with the last name of Prince,
I don't remember that either.
I thought it was an unusual name, and I did want to feature her because she was one of the early teachers.
Yes.
She was born in the 1880s in Norwich, N-O-R-W-I-C-H, near Port Antonio, where her mother's family lived. Her father, David Prince, was a bespoken tailor.
Mm-hmm.
In Port Antonio. He was born in Jamaica, but his father was from Panama.
Oh, okay.
Now, Adele was educated at Titchfield School under the headmastership of William Henry Plant, the school's famous principal. There she became a pupil teacher, and at about 15 years old, she went to Shortwood College.
Wow.
While she was there, she also did a course in agriculture at Hope to help her to be able to run a school garden. She became a keen gardener. Her first teaching job was at Bound Brook School, B-O-U-N-D, Brook School, where she was assistant in the infants department. Later, she moved to the infants department at Titchfield, becoming acting principal on the retirement of Miss Lewiston, the previous head. This happened in 1916. 3 years later, her appointment as principal was confirmed, and she held the post until her retirement in the mid-1930s. She then opened her own preparatory school, which she called Princeton. Interesting.
Isn't that something?
Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
And ran it very successfully until 1962.
Mm.
Wow. That was all around my time.
Yeah.
So there must be some people that know this Princeton school.
Yeah.
Wow. I never heard of it.
And this is in the country.
Mm-hmm. This is important, too. I think
yeah.
Later on. As with other similar schools, the known character and ability of the principal ensured a good reputation across the island and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
One of the proudest moments of her career as a teacher came in 1936 when she pinned the JUT's president's badge on the coat of E.B. Johnson, one of her Port Antonio boys.
Mm.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yes.
She very early became a valued member of the teachers' organization. She had joined the Port Antonio Teachers Association by 1905, and by 1910, she was secretary of that association. She worked in that for 20 years, retiring in 1930. However, she was still secretary 6 years later.
Mm.
Clearly, no replacement had been found for the energetic Miss Prince. She was also a prominent member of the Jamaica Union of Teachers. In W.F. Bailey's History of the JUT, he wrote of her that her loyalty stood by the union and never was found to shirk difficult tasks for the union's welfare. She was in regular attendance at the JUT conferences and served on the executive in the 1920s. It is amusing that journalists who wrote not well informed sometimes referred to her as Miss A.L. Prince. She was certainly as effective as any male member of the union. No, they wrote of her as Mr. A.L. Prince.
Oh.
Because I suppose at that time it was unusual
yeah.
to have a woman, you know, doing as much
name.
As she was doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In 1945, press report, it was stated Miss Prince represents almost every organization in Port Antonio, which summed up the role she played not only in that town, but also in the whole parish. She was a devout member of the Christ Church, Anglican Church, and served as secretary of the church committee, supervisor of the junior Sunday school, and chairperson of St. Margaret's Guild. She was always involved in the organization of church functions. She gave many years of service as librarian of the Free Library in Port Antonio and was a member of the Parish Library Committee. She was at various times a member of the Boy Scouts Association. a member of the Portland Youth Council, chairperson of the visiting committee of the Jamaica Women's League, an active member of the Jamaican Women's Federation, president of the Adult Education Group, and a member of the Portland Chamber of Commerce and Tourist Trade Development Association. In 1945, Miss Prince was made a Justice of the Peace for Portland, a recognition for her ongoing role in the community. She was honored later in the year by her alma mater, Shortwood College, along with Mrs. Mary Morris Nibb, I know that name, who had also been made a JP for their appointments and for their life's work of dedicated service. Miss Prince took a particular interest in cultural activities. She attended events such as Ashley Clark's lecture recital on Jamaican culture at the Library Club in Port Antonio in 1939, and Una Morris' play, Pinocchio, which when it was performed in Port Antonio in 1940. In November 1946, the Adult Education Group put on the first of a series of annual festivals of music, art, and drama. Miss Prince involved herself and her school in the activities connected to these festivals. In 1955, the festival was moved to May to be part of the island-wide National Festival of Arts, and Miss Prince continued to be involved in organizing it. She remained active in her many interests until a few years before her death in July of 1964.
Wow.
So she lived for quite a long time.
Yes.
She certainly was quite active in the community in quite a few civic things, you know, that was really, as I mentioned, unusual for those times.
Right.
So, you know, we as women have to know that there were trailblazers before us that perhaps never had it as easy as we are now, and the younger generation even is different because, you know, as they call it, the glass ceiling is being shattered, not only in Jamaica, but all over the world.
Yeah.
I was reading some statistics about education in Jamaica since we're doing education, and it mentioned, you know, how women over the last, I would say, 10 or 20 years, they have been more female registering at the university level.
Yes.
Than men.
Yes.
Yeah, so in different disciplines, you know. So it's really interesting to hear all of that. Well, now I'm going to have to ask the listeners to bear with me because the next person we're featuring is Miss Winifred Charlotte Bailey.
Bailey, I've heard of that name, Bailey.
You have?
Not that particular person, but the name Bailey.
Right. But perhaps, you know, that person really, you know, is related to the Bailey here, because the island was a very small place.
Yes.
Why am I whispering? But anyway, I am reading, I have to go to the website to read this because it was not printable.
Yes.
The format that the historian had it in, I could not print it. I could not copy it, so I have to read it right from the website. It says, Winifred Charlotte Bailey had an impressive family history for an aspiring teacher. She was born in Waldeston, Manchester. She was the eldest daughter of William Frederick Bailey, who was a well-known teacher and one of the founders of the Jamaican Union of Teachers. While his parents, Frederick and Hannah Bailey, had also been teachers, early education, presumably supervised by her parents, and in 1903, she did extremely well in the pupil teacher examinations set by the education department. On the basis of this result, the union awarded her a 10-pound per annum scholarship to a secondary school for 2 years. She attended Woolmer's Girls' School, where she featured on the prize list in 1905 and received an excellent report which recommended the renewal of her scholarship.
Yeah.
After Woolmer's, she attended Shortwood College, and in 1910, she passed the third-year training college examination with honors.
Wow.
She was only candidate from Shortwood at that level for that year. Okay, I have to scroll down, so hold with me. Yeah.
Ooh.
Her main teaching appointments were at Salters Hill, S-A-L-T-E-R-S Hill. I've never heard of these places before in my life, but I'm a Kingstonian, so I don't know a lot of St. James in R-A-I-M-O-U-N-T in Raymond? In Farm. Oh, Farming. Falmouth. Oh, the printing is really bad. In Falmouth, and then in Porus. From 1914 to 1916, she was in charge of the kindergarten at the Falmouth Government School, where she worked, where her work was highly praised. She then moved to Porus, where she remained in charge of the infant training until her premature death in 1922. She was loved and respected as a teacher by both students and friends. She was a valued and enthusiastic member of the local Teachers Association and of the Jamaican Union of Teachers. She served as secretary for the Falmouth Teachers Association and later held the same position in with the Porus Association. It was the Porus teachers who nominated her for the JUT executive in 1919, with their president commenting that present-day events pointed conclusively to the fact that this was Woman's Day. In January of 1920, the Reverend President D.T. Wint was able to congratulate her on being the first lady union member of the executive. She was re-elected in 1921 and 1922. In 1919, she had inducted her father, W.F. Bailey, as president of the union and performed the same ceremony for the Reverend G.L. Young when he took over the presidency in 1921. She took an active part in the work of the union at conference, on the executive, and on the committees. Apparently, when they refer to the executive, must be a branch of the union, because it sounds like it's improperly used, but I suppose it wasn't. You know, as I said, the writing and the English in those days were a little different.
Different, yes.
Hmm. Yeah, Winifred Bailey was a musician, playing the organ and the piano and organizing choirs and concerts. She was also expert in traditional female crafts, winning a prize for her tatting at the Porus Agriculture Show in 1919. Her death in the summer of 1922 was apparently unexpected. She had suffered with so many other forms of flu epidemic in 1918, but there were no other mentions of her being unwell until the onset of her final illness in June of 1922. Her funeral was held in Kingston on June 30th and a memorial service in Porus in September. Both were attended by large numbers of people who voiced their love and respect for her as a teacher and as a Christian leader. The JUT executive observed a minute of silence in her honor on its meeting the day after she died.
Mm-hmm.
Let me scroll down. Winifred Charlotte Bailey was the first of the remarkable family of 8 children of Mr. and Mrs. W.F. Bailey. Amy was the best known of her siblings. All of them made valuable contributions to the development of Jamaica. So I'm hoping that if there are any Baileys running around out there that are perhaps slacking up on their studies or watching too much TV or playing too much video games, they will remember how focused and dedicated the whole family of Baileys had been. Because remember, he talked about her parents and then even their parents.
Yeah. When I was growing up in Jamaica, I knew of Baileys that had the gas company. They would supply like the gas stations with gas and they were very big in Kingston. I don't know if they are related to this particular person, but
right.
It's a possibility.
Well, you know, as I said, somehow it's possible that some of their, if not them, you know, some of their descendants are around. And I don't know for the rest of the fans, but I just find that these stories inspire me. And you know, sometimes we think that things are hopeless and it doesn't make sense to even bother. Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
But when you think of how dedicated the professionals were in the old days and the obstacles that they had to overcome to achieve their dreams, you know, and live their passion.
Yes.
And a lot of them did. A lot of them certainly did. And they were well respected and well thought of. But, you know, it wasn't easy. It didn't say that none of them were born with a silver spoon in the mouth.
Exactly.
They just worked hard and persevered for what they really wanted.
They did, yes.
And, you know, we can celebrate them today and be really inspired by these stories. I find them very inspiring.
Yes.
Because with all that's happening in the world now, if we focus on just that, then it may even get depressing and seem like it's hopeless, you know?
Yes, that's true.
But, you know, the world traditionally has always gone up through ups and downs. And even in the darkest, when things were really bad for the descendants of the slaves or the slaves themselves, there was always a shining light someplace. So we have to take comfort in that.
Yes, for sure.
Yes. I am very inspired and motivated to encourage teachers. And we don't have to be professional teachers to help to teach the next generation. First of all, we teach them by our examples, you know,
exactly.
How we deal with stress,
yes.
How we interact with other people. The young people are watching us and mirroring us.
Yes.
We just have to be mindful of that, you know, as we go through our lives. Because whether we believe it or not, we are creating immortality. Because what we pass on to someone else lives on in them.
That's true.
So with that said, I would like to invite anyone else on the board that would like to weigh in on the Labrish to hit 1 on your keypad, so I'll know that you would like to say hi or bye or give me some idea of whether you enjoyed the show or not, whether we're going in the right direction or not. But as you know, this is not for politics or religion or who's right or who's wrong. This is for digging up some great stories of long ago and bringing them to light so we can celebrate, enlighten, and preserve. So I see a hand at 914-665, and I'm going to open up the mic. You got Margaret in the backyard. I'm in hot latte, but right now I'm under the mango tree with my rum and coconut water.
I like the sound of that, but this is just a brief visit.
Who do I have and where are you calling from?
This is Carl from Mount Vernon.
Welcome, Mount Vernon.
Yes, I just wanted to, you mentioned about the ladies in the Jamaica Union of Teachers. The school system in the classroom throughout Kingston and St. Andrew, a lot of the teachers, as a matter of fact, in my opinion, as a student, most of the teachers who taught me in school were women.
Mm-hmm.
And although they never gained the position of principal of any of the schools, they were very outstanding in their performance as teachers throughout the system. And you mentioned Morris Nibb.
Mm-hmm.
I think she also had her own school, Morris Preparatory School, I think it was called. And then there was Amy Bailey. I think she had an unusual spelling for her first name, A-M-I-M-E-E.
Yes.
Was that how it was?
Uh-huh.
And I think she also established the housecraft training.
Yes, because
center.
It says here she was very crafty.
Yeah, well what she did, she taught the girls about home, you know, home
right,
care
home,
and baking and
right,
general,
home economics, they used to call it.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And there are quite a number of them. Ms. Vi Mendes, and my mother, by the way, I won't blow the McDonald horn too much, but
why not?
My mother was involved. She was trained in the system, and eventually she also opened her own school.
Wow.
In a town nearby Jonestown called Newtown.
Uh-huh.
And there were quite, as a matter of fact, she was very, the same dedication that you spoke about, that gentleman, Mr. Walcott.
Walcott.
Mm-hmm. The same dedication, where they were not concerned that this is why they had to have the bell that rang to alert them that guess what, the kids have to go for lunch. No, really, this is the type of dedication.
So true.
And they produced some of the top people who passed the senior Cambridge exams,
mm-hmm.
and eventually are established as great leaders all over the world. You know, really, these ladies.
Right.
So they really left their mark. Also, you refer to the legacy that you're leaving for your grandchildren. The fact is that, in my opinion, you're doing a great job of opening the books.
Right.
To putting a spotlight on these great individuals that we should honor. And it's wonderful. I benefited from all these great women teachers, and of course they were also very great disciplinarians. They were not afraid to pull out the cane,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
give you a good caning if you didn't do the homework, for example.
Right, so true. And now they're calling that, you know, child abuse.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And well, the Bible says it, don't spare the rod and spoil the child.
Right.
You know,
but it's funny how, you know, I don't know for the rest of the world, but I have not really encountered people who thought that the discipline that was, you know, employed by their parents or grandparents ruined them.
No.
You know, I think it molded them into
exactly.
very strong.
I have a view on the corporal punishment in that a lot of the delinquency among youths today, I know that the society would say that we are going backward if we were to bring back corporal punishment. Some of these teenagers should be flogged, in my opinion.
Right.
Out in the, you know, would take their clothes, their pants off, and give them a few. And not only just the whipping, it's being humiliated in front of their peers.
Yeah.
And believe me, a lot of the delinquency will go. And I know it won't happen, because right away you'd have the all these different organizations who are defending the rights,
yes,
and what have you. So,
well, you know, this is not funny, but, and I don't really do this on the show, but as you said that, there was an article in my local paper recently where this older man was, I don't know if they were at the vet or what, but he told this kid that must have been running around not to pet his cat. I mean, I didn't state what the reason was. And after he told the kid three times or so that he just whacked the kid right in front of the parent.
I'm sure he got the results that he was looking for.
Oh, yes, he was arrested immediately, but that's almost funny because I think his nerve is more like he said. He's from the old school. He said three times, three strikes,
say,
you're
yes,
out.
Yes, stop, stop, stop.
And he
yes,
said he
I mean,
just stopped.
And you remember,
said,
where was it? In the Philippines, I forget now the exact area out there in that area of the world where an American was visiting and he was littering the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought in by the authorities and he was given a sentence of so many lashes.
Oh, my gosh.
And they,
no
they
joke,
appealed. At the time, President Clinton was in office, and they appealed to him as an American and that they should relieve him of that punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I think he was able to reduce it. But the bottom line is that even just littering the sidewalk,
yeah.
You know, and they were not afraid to use corporal punishment. And
right.
I know we will not go back to those days, but a lot of the
no,
things
we
are
won't.
Happening.
But I am just hoping that some of these stories will inspire the younger generation, you know, because they things are a lot easier now,
yeah.
And they should be absorbing more faster. There's no reason for people not to, even if they don't have the proper schooling.
Yes.
They have access to learning, is my point.
And the country I was thinking of is Singapore. That's where that event took place with the littering
mm-hmm.
on the sidewalk.
Right.
And but to get back to Jamaica, I mean, I was educated in Kingston, and I remember quite well that some of the strongest teachers that you know, added to my education were women, and they did a very great job, and they also were given the authority to discipline
yes.
me and my peers by our parents.
Right.
And if you reached a point where you were disciplined at school, when you got home, you got another session.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was thought common.
You know. So that's my brief comment for
well,
the evening. It's a pleasure participating.
Oh, good. Thank you so much.
And
you know, I'm on this education trip because there needs to be more all of the world, but, you know, we're just talking about Jamaica right now, in educating the youth because, you know, it's the surveys are saying now that the percentage is going backwards. You know, it's under British rule there were less.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage was lower than it is now. So the teachers I know have a big job, but, you know, if they can just focus on the fact that they are really helping the nation and the world.
And molding the
and
minds of the future.
And they are dedicated in helping the children learn.
Right.
It has to be more than about the money, although the money is necessary.
Right.
But there are some professions I think it has to be more than about the money.
Yeah, dedication.
To be effective. Mm-hmm. Because when it's just about the money, your heart is not in it.
No.
Exactly.
So we owe the people of long ago, and we just need to encourage the people of today to be strong and, you know that they're doing some good for the world, not just the country you live in or the country you're occupied in as a teacher. So I applaud them and really, really celebrate them.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you. I hope you've enjoyed my babbling about these wonderful people, and I hope that you will continue to spread the word. And if you know anybody with those names, tell them to check it out, because you never know, they might be interested. Not only that, Dr. Lumsden is always looking for additional facts to complete her stories. So, and I want to shout out to her about how much we really appreciate her, because without her, these stories would still be buried. You know, because we're not researching the newspaper of 1899 or of 1919
right.
to find this information, is my point. So unless you're really doing some special documentation on that period, you wouldn't even bother.
That's
so
true.
That is a big task, and I, for one, really and truly appreciate it. So, ladies and gentlemen, those listening online, I thank you for your time. Those who may come by later, I want to invite you to come back and to tell you that there are lots of shows in the archives that even are more interesting or just as interesting. There is one man that is a teacher also that's listed by Dr. Lumsden as one of the early teachers, but I realize I did a whole show about him, because he was selected by an Englishman as to be sent to London. He was born in slavery and was sent to London as an experiment to see if a direct descendant of a slave could be educated and trained just like a Englishman. So, and I call that, it's in the archives, I think I call it the original trading places. Because remember, there was a movie about trading places.
Right.
Did anyone see that movie?
No.
No, I heard the title.
It had that comedian in it. But it was a very interesting and funny show where these two rich men had, a white man that worked for them or so. And they decided, or it was a relative, I don't remember, to switch him out and throw him in the ghetto. He went to prison and all of that, jail and not prison, and take someone from that environment who was Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It
no,
was
I
a
remember.
Very funny movie, but
yes.
It was an experiment.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But do you know that a similar experiment was done in Jamaica with this man?
Oh.
So it's called The Original Trading Places. So look it up in the archives, and it's a very interesting story.
Wow.
So with that said, I'd like to bid you all good night, and thank you for your interest and your time, and to encourage you to make it a
great week.
I enjoyed my brief visit, and I say again that you're doing a great job, and the legacy will be really valuable and worthwhile for those who will look at it, check it out, and remember that it's something to be proud of as Jamaicans.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Ditto.
All right. See you all next week.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And God bless.
God bless.
Thanks a lot. You too.
Godspeed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.